Take your Bibles now, turn to Luke chapter 1, if you will, please. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to look at two verses for our text verses today, verses 34 and 35, Luke chapter 1. Now, I'm preaching on the subject of the virgin birth of Christ. How shall this be? How shall this be? The virgin birth of Christ. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 34. How many of you have your Bibles with you? Would you hold them up? Amen. That's great. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you so much, and I hope you have your place there. Luke chapter 1, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost, that is the same person as the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. How shall this be? Mary had never had a relationship in a sexual or physical manner in any way with a man. She was only engaged and espoused to Joseph. Joseph was not the father of Jesus. At best, he was the foster father. But Mary had never had a relationship. And she asked a legitimate question. And I don't think it's the question of doubt. I don't believe it's like Mary's husband was, but I believe, or Elizabeth's husband was, but I believe in this case, it was a case where it just hit her like that, and she's saying, How can this be? I've never known a man. How can this possibly be? And God is telling her, and the angel is telling her, that it will be a supernatural birth. May I say to you that God deals in the supernatural, not the natural. We deal in the muckety-muck down here, the natural, but God deals in the supernatural. And Isaiah said in 7:14, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. What is that sign? What kind of sign that would be that obvious? The Lord shall give you a sign, behold, a virgin shall conceive, supernatural, and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. What do you think about that?
Amen.
That's something, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's what he was talking about. They had a world conference on religion sometime back, and they said if the Christians would do two things, the Christians, if they would give up the virgin birth and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then everybody in religion could get together and we could have one great religion. Well, we're not going to give it up.
Oh,
I mean, that's why we're different. That's why we're saved. That's why we're Christians. That's why we're born again. Let them get together. We believe in a supernatural God that does supernatural things. As a matter of fact, everything about the Christian life really is supernatural, above and beyond the normal and the natural. The Roman Catholic Church overemphasized who Mary was and who she is. And they made her a co-redeemer with Jesus Christ, one to be worshipped. But she never taught that. She never said that, and the Bible never taught that. Not at all. But we should not neglect her. Mary was a wonderful woman. She had to be. Can you imagine, ladies, that you would have been God's choice for you, for Him to bring His only begotten Son into the world? What an honor. And I don't believe there's any greater woman that has ever lived than Mary, probably. I had a great mother. She was a loving mother, a giving mother, a kind mother. She was imperfect, but she was a great mother. and had so many great characteristics and all of those wonderful things, but my dear mother would not compare with Mary. Mary was one that was chosen by God as a special vessel to bring His only begotten Son that had existed with Him throughout all of eternity into this world. Mary was a woman of women, a wonderful woman, but never to be worshipped. 127 of Luke chapter 1, he says to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Again, he reminds us that she was a virgin. She was a spouse to Joseph. That was a little bit more legal than our persons being engaged. A little bit more legal in the espousal. A little more responsibility involved in that. But certainly no liberties involved in that whatsoever outside of the purview of marriage. And so he's telling her that she was a virgin and telling us that she was a spouse to a man, but she had not known a man. Verse 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. That's as far as God goes with it. Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed Virgin Mary, the Lord is with thee. And I believe the Lord was with her, don't you? In a very special way. I think she was probably a beautiful woman. I don't know that. But I just have a hunch she was a beautiful woman. But it was a beautiful thing that God would talk to her and say, I've chosen you. You're going to be the one, the chosen instrument to bring this child into the world. In verse 30, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Don't be afraid, Mary. You're in God's favor. You're in God's favor. Let me ask you a question today. Are you in God's favor? Are you in God's favor as a child of God? One Christian knows they're in God's favor. You ask a question, you might get an answer. Are you in God's favor today in the matter of salvation? If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen to me, you cannot be. There's no way you can be in the favor of God. We're outside of the favor of God. If we hadn't received Christ, he that hadn't received Christ is condemned already because we have not received, we have not accepted the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you something today. Do you really know that God is with you? That you're saved? That he lives in your heart? You know that there was a time and a place where you were born again. Brother Volante and I were visiting together yesterday. We met some people who said they were saved. They just didn't know why they thought they were saved, or how they got saved, or where they got saved. Friend, I believe if you're saved, you know how you got saved. You know where you got saved. You know how it happened. You know you're born again by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in your belief in his finished work. But he's not in your life if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian. And I wonder, too, does he have your life as a believer? Though he lives in you and you're saved, does Jesus have your life? Are you blessed by him because you're yielded to him and you're living the Christian life for him every day? There are a lot of believers out there that are not living like believers. There are a lot of believers that would never convince anybody that they are born again just by the way they live and by their lifestyle. We need to let them know that Jesus is in our life every day. And we yield to him every day, not only in the matter of salvation where it starts, but every day of our life, we yield our life and we're in the favor of Almighty God. Well, this was a supernatural work in Mary's life. And she asked that question, verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How can it be? I've never known a man. How can this possibly be? And he gave her the answer that it would be supernatural. How? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The Holy Spirit, through a miracle of Almighty God, was going to place within her womb the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to have flesh, the incarnation. But he was very God, as much God as man as God. But it all had to happen this way, through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit of God. And as I've said, Christianity is a supernatural life and a supernatural faith. And our God is able, capable to do the supernatural thing, and he always is able to do it. Amen. Jesus performed a lot of miracles when he was on the earth in his public ministry. He was saying to the people that were watching his life, and John reminds us that they scrutinized his life. He dwelt among men. And they beheld him as the only begotten Son of God. They watched him. They scrutinized the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw him, all that he did. And let me tell you, reasoning will never explain it. Never explain it. We were talking to a man yesterday. He may be here today. I don't know if he's here or not. A very nice man. Took quite a bit of time, maybe 20 minutes or so, and talked with us. But he kept coming back to this statement, this is just not logical. It just isn't logical. It just doesn't make sense. It just isn't logical. An educated man, a man who is involved as an educator in the Mansfield school system, and yet he just could not get it in his mind that salvation is a supernatural work by God for people who are lost through Jesus Christ, and you don't buy it, you don't earn it. There's absolutely sometimes no way you can explain it. It's there, and you have to accept the supernatural work of God through Christ by faith, and then you're saved.
Amen.
Saved forever. It's not logical. You see, God is the only true and living God.
Yes.
There's not a plurality of gods. God is the only true and living God. And our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. That sort of doesn't sound right, but he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we think. Anything that we ask, God is able to do that. How can this be, God? Well, I'm God. Nobody ever came into the world like Jesus Christ. Nobody. Not like Jesus Christ. You had Adam and Eve, and God took the rib from Adam and made the first woman, Eve, and then they began procreation. And that has gone on down through the years and years and years. Natural birth, we call it. Reproduction, we call it. But nobody like the Lord Jesus Christ. And it had to be that way. He had to be born of a virgin. He could not have the sin taint of Adam's blood flowing through him like you and I have, through the seed of man. And that's why it was a miracle birth, so that Jesus was born of a virgin without the curse of sin running through his body. And yet he had a human body. It had to be a human body. And the virgin said, I don't understand. But see, that's God's plan, not man's plan. And we have to go by God's plan. The youth choir was singing John 3:16, or someone was earlier. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
I love that verse. We should never get used to it and take it for granted.
Amen.
God gave his only begotten Son. He gave him. For God so loved the world that he gave. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. A child through the Virgin Mary, and a son, God's son, coming into the world through a miracle of Almighty God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Praise God for the supernatural. Praise God for the incarnation. Praise God that Jesus was robed in flesh and yet without sin. We notice something about Mary, and that is her submission to the Lord. The submission of Mary's life to God. Look in verse 38. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You know what she was saying? Lord, that's what you said, and I am going to comply with your will for my life. This is what you said, And I'm going to do what you said. I want to be in your will. May I say to you today, there is no success. Listen, there is no success to you when you're outside of the will of God. No true success. No matter how materialistic you may be and how much money you may be and how much fame you may get and how many things you may achieve, outside of that, there's no success outside of God's will. That's why you and I today need to yield to God's will for our life, whatever it may be. It may not make sense, but if God says do it, it's the right thing to do. If God calls you to the mission field, you ought to go. If God calls you into full-time service, you may say, well, I don't, who, me? How can I do it? But if God's called you, you need to go. God specializes in the supernatural. And whatever God has asked us to do, we need to be willing to do it. Submit to the Lord. Lord, whatever you say, that's what I want. That should be true in every aspect of our life. Lord, whatever you say, that's what I want. If you say tithe, I want to tithe. If you say give, I want to give. If you say live holy and get rid of bad habits in my life, I want to do that. If you say go to church, I want to be in church. If you say witness, I want to witness. I want to do, God, what you want me to do. And you see, sometimes we think the whole battle is with the devil, but sometimes the real battle is with the Lord, because we're battling with him and he's saying, I want you to do this, and we're saying, no, I'm not going to do it. And sometimes our battle, we blame it on the devil, and it's really the battle between us and the Lord, whether or not we'll do his will in any part of our life. Is there one great area in your life that God is dealing with you about? What is he saying? Do what God says, and that'll be the right thing. And the way to know the will of God, the best way to know the will of God, is go to the Word of God. It reveals the will of God about all of these things, and fall on your face and seek his face for the will of God. The submission of Mary to God is a lesson to us. And then there's the sword that was going to come through Mary's heart one day. Look at chapter 2 of Luke. Drop down to verse 25 for a second. Luke 2:25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He had studied the Old Testament Bible, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. He was walking with the Lord, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. He really lived close to the Lord. Isn't it great when we as children of God let the Holy Spirit lead us? And he never contradicts his word. And so when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God, and notice what he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And notice verse 35, yea, Simeon is speaking, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. Talking about Mary particularly, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You see, the cross was part of Mary's heart being crushed. And Simeon said, this baby that you're bringing to be circumcised and to be presented to the Lord today, this child, one of these days your heart, Mary, is going to be crushed. A sword's going to run right through your heart. Can you imagine the parents of those children in Newtown, Connecticut, the sword that ran through their heart and is running through their heart? And this is what Simeon was saying to her, it's going to happen. And the cross was part of it. But all the way through it, Mary was laughed at, scorned, belittled. Many times there were those who said she was a woman of ill repute. John 19:25 says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Can you imagine a more tender scene than that? There stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. There she was, watching Jesus. Her son, the one she gave birth to. Dr. Harry Reimer said, Mary's behavior was psychological evidence of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. What did he mean? If he had not been virgin born, she probably would have immediately said, wait a minute, stop. I cannot stand this. The truth is, he is my illegitimate son. Bring him down off the cross. Don't let him die. I confess. Why didn't she? Because she knew that he was the virgin-born Son of God. She knew he was God in the flesh. She knew why he had come. She knew that he was going to die on the cross for her sins. And I believe that she remembered Simeon's words right then, that a sword's going to go through your heart. She could have done something about it, perhaps. She didn't cry out and confess anything except that he is Lord. I wonder today if we're willing to identify with the reproach of the cross. You know, we love to be popular. We like for people to like us. We like for the world to accept us and bring us in to their fellowship and all of that. We need to associate ourselves just like Mary did. There she is standing at the foot of the cross, standing by, nearby, looking at Jesus. I wonder if we're willing to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if we are such dedicated Christians that will take the reproach. I wonder if we have teenagers in our youth department that'll say, come hell or high water, I'm going to stand up for Jesus Christ. I don't care if they laugh at me. I'm going to take a stand on the campus as a college student and a university student. And as mothers and dads, we're going to take a stand for the glory of God and really stand up for him. Every once in a while, it would do us good to feel the sword a little bit, to die to self, to identify with the cross. Mary was also steadfast. Turn very quickly to Acts chapter 1, if you will. Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. There abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, watch this, and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. You see where Mary is? Mary is steadfast Mary. She is following Jesus. She got saved by trusting in her son's death on the cross, and now Mary is a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary had to confess her sin, and friend, you'll have to confess your sin if you get saved. Mary was a wonderful woman and a very special woman, but she was a sinner. She had to be saved. Now she is a disciple of Christ. Mary was not the mother of God. It is never right to say Mary the mother of God. She was not the mother of God in that strictest sense of the word. She had to confess her sin. But there she is steadfast, taking her place with the disciples. She said, how shall this be? How shall this be? Well, it's with God. It's supernatural. And here it is. A virgin bearing a son, giving birth to a son, letting that son come into the world, and that son knowing that he was someday going to die and pay for her sin debt, realizing that he was God in the flesh, and he came and did what he came to do to satisfy the Father and to die for sinners like you and I. And what about you today? Is God asking you to do something and you're saying, how can it be, God? Well, I can tell you, if God said it, it can be. And God will take care of it. It's supernatural. How can this be, God? it can be. God, how can you take me, all of my sins, my past, all the things I've done, how can you take those and save my soul and put them under the blood of Jesus Christ and let me know that I'm going to heaven? How can this be? He says, it's by faith and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing that He was God in the flesh, believing that He never sinned, believing that He went to the cross, that He died a substitutionary death and became the propitiation, the satisfier to God for our sins. And my friend, that's how it can be. Salvation is supernatural. Living for Jesus can be done. We have no excuse for not being literally sold out to Jesus Christ, because God says He gives us the power to live that life, the supernatural power. And I ask you today, do you know this Jesus as your Savior? Do you know Him? Are you living for Him? How can this be, God? It's supernatural. It's salvation by grace. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Amen. Salvation by grace through Jesus Christ. That's why He was born. Let's stand, please. Heavenly Father, as we come to You, O God, in prayer, we thank You today for the miracle, the supernatural virgin birth of Jesus Christ. We thank You that He never sinned, but He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we through Him might be made the righteousness of You. And Father, perhaps there's someone like that here today. No doubt in a crowd this large, there's somebody here who's never gotten saved, never understood this supernatural work. Help them to understand today that it is Your grace, that Jesus has been presented to us, as John said, full of grace and truth. He is the truth, the way, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him, but He is filled with grace and He'll save anybody. I pray that they'd come and be saved today. And then God, help us to search our hearts to see if we have the kind of faith Mary has to believe You, to trust You, to obey You in all things, and to be a dedicated disciple of the One who saved us. In His name we pray. Amen.